see. With the Lord, the door of God's mercy is still open. Like the door of Noah's Ark stayed open 7 days after it was built. The door is still open. Come on in. Come on in. Come one, come all. The door is open. Come to Christ. Do not delay. Judgment's coming. Get in the ark. Genesis chapter 6 through 8 deal with the story of Noah's ark. But it's so much more than that. Nearly everyone has heard or read this story. Very few people believe it. Very few people believe this. In our day, very few. Even in religion, I would venture to say that even in religion, very few people believe in a literal flood upon this earth. In spite of overwhelming evidence, physical evidence, very few people do. The reason being is it speaks of a holy and a just God who will punish sin. And people just would rather not believe in a God like that. So they dismiss it. It's what Peter said, didn't he, Stan? They're willingly ignorant. Didn't he say that in 2 Peter 3? This they are willingly ignorant, that the earth that was then standing out of the waters was overflowed by water and perished. Willingly ignorant. Don't want to believe in that, but God's people believe it. God's people believe, for they believe this to be God's word, and they believe God. That's what separates believers from unbelievers. They believe God. If it's in this book, they believe it. They take God at His word. But God's people especially believe that this happened because they see Christ in it. Because it's such a miraculous story, such a spiritual picture of salvation, which is only found in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our ark. And you know, all things are of Him, through Him, to Him, for Him. That's the reason the flood happened, Stan. Was to point to Christ. All things. He gave Ethiopian seed to Egypt. All to point to Christ. It's all a picture of Christ, who is the ark of safety. Scripture says that Noah, Peter said, Peter is the one who gives the most mention of the flood of the apostles. He speaks of it a few times. Peter said that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah was a preacher. A preacher. And he had one message. I mean, he did not speak on the politics or the social ills of the day. He had one message for 100 and some years. One message he was taken up with. And he preached it every time he had an audience. Get in the ark. Judgment's coming. God is holy. And he didn't just say get in the ark. He went on with it. He said God is holy. God will by no means clear the guilty. We are sinful. God is righteous. There's none righteous, no, not one. God is righteous. We are sinful. God is holy. Judgment's coming. He has said He's going to punish the transgressors. He's going to punish sin. He's going to do away with it. And the only place to escape that judgment and wrath is in the ark. Get in the ark. Judgment's coming. With every stroke of His hammer, with every stroke of His saw, He was saying, judgment's coming. to his neighbors, to his friends, to anybody that came along, judgment is coming. He didn't have to say anything. His very work was proving it. His very life tested to it. Judgment's coming. What are you building a boat for, Noah? You going out on the lake? No. Judgment's coming. Why are you religious? Why are you going to church? Judgment's coming. I want to be found in the ark. Just not building a boat for pleasure. Judgment's coming. And this is a picture of Christ. And Noah, like I said, Noah preached the same message. And I am a preacher. Make no apology for that, although I do not like to be associated with most of what are called preachers today. They're the most despicable people on earth. Many and I were watching a television show, and they had some. Have you ever noticed how all preachers on TV or whatever are the most, they're just wimpy little pitiful, just pathetic people. They don't have any answers. They never read the Bible. They never do nothing. They're worthless individuals that people have total disdain for. They're not men. But I am a preacher. I make no apology for that. I'm a preacher of righteousness. Like Noah. Not your righteousness. Not my righteousness. Not our righteousness. Not self-righteousness. That won't do you any good. Noah knew that. See, Noah found grace. Noah knew where God's righteousness was. That's just it. It's God's righteousness. It wasn't his own. Noah found grace. And Noah preached a righteousness that was not his own, that the people needed. And I preach of Christ, the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. I'm a preacher of righteousness. And I say, God is holy. He's the same God that he was in Noah's day. He's the same God. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, I change not. Same God that overflowed the world with water is going to someday destroy it with fire. Same God. And he says it's a time when you think not. I make no apology for that. I believe it. It's God's word. I don't try to explain it. I just simply declare it. Noah didn't try to explain God. He just declared him, didn't he? And I say God is holy, God is righteous. God will by no means clear the guilty. God is going to destroy this earth and all that are in it, except those that are in Christ. So I say to you, come to Christ. But you say, how? You just better find out. You just better get to him. Get in Christ. Get in the ark. But I'm not going to come unless God... Get in the ark now. I wish I could be a little more urgent with this message. But for the... At the risk of sounding... like I'm pleading or begging. I don't want to do that. But I do say with all the urgency I can, you better get to Christ and you better do it now. You better not put it off a day. Christ is the only place of safety. All right, let's read here in Genesis 6. Look at it. What is this ark? What's this all about? What is this ark? Look at Genesis 6, verses 5 through 7. God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. I know the rest of this story is so, because that sure is so. Verse 6, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. He's speaking in a language we can understand. God doesn't repent of anything. God doesn't grieve over anything. But he's speaking in a way that we can understand. As if to say, I wish I'd have never made him. But God knew what he was doing. He knew what was coming. Verse 7, and the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping thing, fowls of the air. It repenteth me that I have made them. Now look down at chapter 7, verse 23. Chapter 7, verse 23. So he did. God did what he said he'd do. Whatever God says he will do, he will do. Everything that's written in this book will come to pass. And this flood did. Verse 23 says, "And every living substance was destroyed, which was upon the face of the ground, both man and cattle and creeping things and fowl of the heaven. They were destroyed from the earth, but Noah only remained alive, and they that were with Noah in the ark." God said, "I will destroy everything because I'm angry with sin. I'm going to destroy it. But I will not destroy anyone who's in that ark, anything that's in that ark." You see, the ark was the place of safety. The ark. There was not another, was there? Were there two or three boats? There was one. One way to escape that wrath and judgment of God. The ark. And everybody that was in that ark was saved. Nobody else. Only those who were in that ark were saved. The ark was the only place of salvation from the judgment of an angry God. Christ is the only way. That's what he said. "I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I'm the way. Christ is the ark. All that are in him will be saved. All those outside of him will be damned. Narrow? Yes. In one way. It all narrows down. You know, an arrow is narrow, isn't it? It comes to a point, doesn't it? We want it to come to the point where we see that Christ is the only way. It all points to him, doesn't it? He is the way. All faith in him, outside of him, they're damned. So what this ark was a place of safety and refuge from God's wrath. And that's what Christ is. Number two, who planned the ark? Did Noah often decide for God one day, "God needs my help. I think I'll build a boat." Oh, no. That's ridiculous, isn't it? God's the one that planned this ark. Look at chapter 6, verse 13 and 14. Look at it. "God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make an ark, Noah. Make an ark. According to the foreknowledge of God, what he saw, according to the wisdom of God, God planned and God carried out the building of this ark of safety. And Christ is called. Christ was not some afterthought of God. See, God didn't send the law and hope man would live by it and so he could save him. And that didn't work, so he tried something else, and that didn't work, and he tried. So finally, when all else failed, he sent his son. No. Remember what Christ said? "I am the way." Not a way. The way. And Christ is called the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. Before there was ever a sinner, Jesus Christ was the Lamb slain to put away sin. Before there was ever a sinner, Christ was the ark of safety that every sinner that's going to be saved would be in and be saved. And God would pass over by his blood. According to the foreknowledge of God, God foreknew, God foresaw the fall of man. And I'm not going to stop and explain that, why he allowed it, except to say this: to glorify himself, to glorify his son, and to make salvation certain for eternity. God foresaw the fall of man and his certain destruction, and God made an ark. He planned it, drew the blueprints of salvation. Christ eventually was made flesh. God made him flesh. God made Christ flesh. He was made sin for us. Jesus Christ was made our ark of safety, our salvation, to save some alive. Save some alive. In Christ, the ark. So God's the one that planned the ark. Noah, let me ask you this next question. Who went in that ark? Who went in the ark? Look back at chapter 6 again. I'll tell you who went in the ark. Noah and his family. Nobody else. Noah and his family. 8 people. Out of, estimates have it, upwards of 11 billion people on the earth. 8 people. Boy, that's a remnant, isn't it? That's just a smattering, isn't it? Just a little, that's a few, isn't it? Many were damned. Few were chosen, weren't they? What's that tell you about? Well, Noah wouldn't have built an ark if God hadn't told him to. And Noah wouldn't have gone in if God hadn't chosen him. You see, Noah, it says in verse 8, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And Noah went in the boat. So did his family with him. Noah found grace. What kind of grace? God didn't say, Noah, would you like to come in the ark? Did he? God didn't say, Noah, would you like to please build me an ark? God didn't say, Noah, I'm going to destroy me. And if you will accept me as your personal Savior, then I will. God told him. God just came one day and told him, Noah, with you. Look at chapter 6. Look at verse 18. With thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark. Why? God had elected Noah. That's why. Noah was his elect. Thou shalt come. Thou, look at it, read on. Thou, thy sons, thy wives, and thy sons' wives with thee, and these animals. Sounds like God knew beforehand who was going to be in the ark. Sure he did. He elected them. Noah wouldn't even gone in, Stan, would it? Noah wouldn't even gone in if God hadn't said, you're coming in. You and your wife. What about Joe down there? He's not coming in. Oh, I'm going to leave the door open. I'm going to give him opportunity. But he will not come to the ark that he might have life. He won't do it. He just will not do it. Well, you will. I will? Yes, you shall. I'm going to make you willing. You're going to get in that boat, Noah. Noah loved election, didn't he? Didn't he? He found grace. He loved it. Sovereign grace. God said, I will be merciful to whom I will. Noah, I'm going to be merciful to you. Thank God for sovereign grace. Thy sons, they thank God for sovereign grace. My wife and my son's wife. I knew 8 people that loved sovereign grace. It's a small congregation, but they loved to hear it every time it was preached. Huh? For 40 days, Noah preached sovereign grace. And those people, they loved every word of it. 8 people. Well, sure that 8 people can't be right and everybody else wrong. They sure weren't they? Let God be true and every man a liar. And
except those that believe, that walk with God.
They believe God. They believe God's true. Verse 22, so thus did Noah. Is there any chance, any possibility that Noah wasn't going in that ark? None whatsoever. I love that. Oh, I just love it. The sovereignty of God, unconditional election, more than doctrine, it's my salvation. Elected unto salvation. It tells me I'm going to be saved. If the elect are going to be saved, I'm going to be saved.
particular redemption. It's the blood. The blood, the pitch. Noah had faith in that pitch. Why? God pitched it. God's pitch won't spring a leak. It covered him. That boat was God's plan, God's purpose, God's order. According to God's blueprints, any flaw in it? No, it's perfect. Wasn't any possibility it was going to be broken by the storm? Spring a leak? Nothing. Noah had faith in that ark, didn't he? Huh? Noah's salvation was in that ark. You see, Christ is God's ark. And all his elect will go into the ark. And those who would object to this, you wouldn't go into it anyway. They wouldn't go in anyway. But Noah did, verse 22. Thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded. So did he. So did he, Barbara. So did he. And it's going to be written to me someday. So did Paul go in, come to Christ by faith. So did he. God, just like God told him to do. As God commanded. So did he. So did he. So did Stan. So did he. A bunch of so diddies. They went in. Thus did Noah. Oh, may that be said of you. Thus did so and so. Verse 1 of chapter 7. The Lord said unto Noah, come thou and all thy house into the ark. Come thou and all thy house, for thee have I seen righteous before me. Who's going to be found in Christ? I asked you who went in the ark. Well, Noah did. And his family. Well, who will be found in Christ the ark? Who's going to believe? Who's going to believe Christ? Who will come? What does Christ say, John? Who will come? All that the Father giveth me, Micah, shall come. Christ said they're coming. They're coming. Not worry about it. They're coming. All that the Father giveth me, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God, the chosen, many hear, many people heard that. You want to call it an offer? Door was open. Many people heard that, didn't it? If you want to call it an offer, don't. But many people heard it. Many people heard it. Few heard it. Few were chosen to hear it here. Many people heard it. Boat, ark, flood, rain. It's never rained, Noah. It never rained before. Can you imagine their natural man, the natural man saying, that's foolishness. Raining? You see, the mist, it never rained before the flood. Water pouring down? They scoffed at Noah. Fire? God going to rain fire? Oh. Well, it did. And it shall. Sun, meteors, whatever it may be, it's going to. It's going to. The elect, many will hear, but few are chosen. They'll hear it. John Davis will hear it. Getting Christ? Oh, I feel my sin. I'm just like everybody else. I need to be in Christ. Here I come, Lord. Would you let me in? Come on in, John. Come on in. I'm coming. Come! Here I am. There you are. Can I stay? You'll stay. I'm going to shut you in. Come on, everybody. Anybody want the sovereign Christ? Anybody want this sovereign Christ out there open the door? Let's tell our community. Anybody want a Lord to reign over there? Run away with anybody? Watch them pass by. Go down the road and hear about some Jesus who can only do what they let him. That's the one they want. Little Jesus in their hands. They want this sovereign Christ. All right. The door's going to shut. But all that the Father giveth him will come. And him that cometh, he'll no wise cast out. God didn't find out later that Noah was a sinner, you know, while he's in that boat and said, Noah, you're getting out. You're going out. Come on in there and throw Noah out. He was a sinner, wasn't he? No, he's staying in that heart. But he says he saw him righteous before me. How did he see him righteous? There's none righteous, no, not one. Went to great lengths to explain that last time. Noah was seen righteous because he believed in Christ, his righteousness. Abraham, same way. Abraham, it was imputed to him. Righteousness was imputed to him, charged to his account by faith. He believed in God's righteous one, the Holy Son of God who would come and establish a righteousness which he could not, which Noah and which Abraham couldn't establish. Noah had faith. That's the reason as soon as he got off that ark, Roberta, he slew a lamb. Just as soon as he got off, he slew a lamb. Blood, he knew him. Only he's not been saved because of his heart, because of the mercy of God, the grace of God, because God's righteous one ever lives to make intercession for this old sinner. Only reason God didn't kick me out of the boat is because of his sovereign mercy that endures forever, because of his grace. And I'm righteous. Noah said, I ain't righteous, Lord. Yes, you are. I've seen you righteous. Well, it must be somebody else's doings. Lord, you see me. You see what I don't see. Yeah, he does. He sees Christ, the unseen one, who is yet to appear. He's seen him righteous. Do you understand that? The call will come. Come unto me, who will come? All that the Father giveth me. Come unto me, who will come? My sheep will hear my voice. They'll come. Noah went out there and said, sheep, who came? Two sheep. Seven sheep. Male and female. Seven sheep. Not eight. Not ten. Not 143, seven sheep. Seven pairs of sheep. Okay.
Matthew Henry said six for the service of God, or man, two for the service of God.
He also said there's only two of the unclean because, thank God in his mercy and his wisdom, there aren't
herds of lions and tigers roaming here. Why?
Because there's only two of them in the earth. That makes sense? Stand as herds of elk and ain't herds of tigers. Why? Well, there were 14 in the boat. Just four lines of tigers. Right? That makes sense? Sure it does. Well, haven't they? They're the king of the jungle, you know. Why haven't they taken over? There was only two of them in the boat. That makes sense. Well, the scripture says, all God's people shall be taught of God. And everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father, Noah heard and learned from God, didn't he? That judgment was coming. Noah got in the boat. And everyone that hath heard and learned of the Father, John 6:45 says, shall come to me, come to Christ. They shall come. They shall. What was in that ark? Let's look at it here, chapter 6, verse 14. I'll just keep you a few more minutes. All right? Talking about Christ, your ark. I'm talking about your salvation. I'm trying to tell you, Teresa, that the good news that if you're in Christ, God chose you from the foundation of the world and did not choose your whoever, your friends, or he chose you. And you're safe in Christ. And God's going to make certain you come to Christ. He's going to make certain you stay there. I'm trying to tell you some good news here. And let me show you some glorious things here in the ark. Some things in the ark. Look down at chapter 6. It says in verse 14, they make an ark of gopher wood. And that gopher wood was kind of like locust, black locust that we have over here. You fellas have locust posts on your property? Yeah, you do. I've seen them. The locust, and this gopher wood was impervious to rot and decay. Water couldn't get through it. It was hard. It was, it stood a long time. That tells me of the deity of Christ. It tells me of the eternality of Christ. At any rate, what was in the ark? Verse 14 says, rooms. You have a marginal reference? What's yours say? Somebody say it. Nests.
nests. What do little hens, little brood do in a nest? What do little chickies do in a nest, huh? Little birds. Work. Did they build a nest? What did they do? Just rest in the nest and get fed. That's all Noah and the boys did in that ark. Just rest. They just rested. Another sense is that those boys, like I said, Noah seems to have done all the work. His sons must have been teenagers. Noah did all the work, and they just rested. That's a picture of Christ, isn't it? He does all the work. He built this thing of salvation. We just rest. He just says, get in the nest. Get in the nest and I'll feed you. Nest is a safe, secure resting place for animals and humans, a habitation of comfort. And Christ is our dwelling place, our safe, secure, and resting place, a nest for poor, frightened little sinners. Oh, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you rest. Something else, verse 21. Something else was in that ark. Verse 21 says, take unto you, Noah, take unto you all food that is eaten. There was food in that ark. Sustenance. Life-keeping, life-sustaining food was in that ark. You reckon it was scanty? You reckon they had to ration it? Was there enough to go around? Oh, they ate like kings. They were kings. Sons of God, weren't they? Food was in that ark. Enough to sustain everybody in that ark. No more, no less. And Christ is our bread. Christ is our water, our spiritual food, our sustenance. And we live. Christ said, if any man eat, this is my body broken for you, my blood shed for you. If any man eat or drink, he shall live. He'll never thirst again. Never hunger again. Tell you something else was in that ark. It's not written here. But there was a bumper sticker in that ark. It wasn't on the bumper. It's in the ark. And it says, smile. God loves you. Yeah. Judgment, condemnation, death outside that ark. There wasn't no bumper sticker that said, smile, God loves you. If there was one, he'd said, cry out, God hates you. Well, that bumper sticker was on the inside, buddy. Smile, Noah. Smile, Noah. God loves you. And it puts you in the ark. You're safe. Should not have been here, Noah, but you found grace. Smile, Noah. Smile, Teresa. Smile, sinner. If you're in Christ, God loves you. Say, what verse is that in? Well, it's all the way through. It's all the way through. It's Romans 8:39, the love of God which is in Jesus Christ. That's where it is, Romans 8:39. The love of God, which is... Who shall separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus? Romans 8:39. There was a bumper sticker. Disprove it. Look at chapter 7, verse 7. Look at verse 7, chapter 7. It says, Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his son's wife, people were in the ark. People were in the ark. And the scriptures of God... Are you in Christ? People were in the ark. Of God, are you in Christ Jesus? In Him we live and move. There were people in that ark, living, moving, walking around, resting, eating. In Him, in Christ, we live and move and have our being. The scripture said. Verses 8 and 9, animals were in, clean beasts. They were in there, two and two, and seven, seven. Animals were in it. Of him, through him, to him are all things. Christ is Lord over all. Everything's in him. Everything lives and moves and has its being in God, in Christ. Look at verse 1. The Lord said unto Noah, come. Look at that. Who was in that? What was in that ark?
The Lord said, come. The Lord didn't say go. The Lord said, come.
What if I say, Stan, come up here on the platform. What does that mean? Who's up on the platform? I am.
God said to Noah,
come into the ark.
Who was in the ark?
God was in that ark.
And the scripture says God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. God was manifest in the flesh. Is Jesus Christ God? He sure is. He said, come unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God. And beside me, there's none else.
Is it important we believe that Christ is God? If you don't, you'll die in your sins. Right, Henry? God was in Christ. Christ is God. Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Son is given, the mighty God. God was in Christ. Here's some other things to note about the ark, and I'll quit, okay? Some other things to note about this ark. Verse 14, and there's so much more, but for the sake of time, we'll just browse through here. Verse 14 says, make an ark of gopher wood, chapter 6, verse 14. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and thou shalt, I like this, pitch it within and without. Pitch it. You know what the word pitch is? Propitiation. Atonement. It's the same word. Same word used in the New Testament. Atonement. Or propitiation is the same word as pitch. That means covering. It's the blood that maketh atonement, covering for the soul. A pitch. Propitiation, a bloody covering. When that blood was poured on the mercy seat,
when the high priest went,
it made propitiation on the mercy seat. It pitched the mercy seat. It covered the mercy seat with blood. And all of those that are in Christ, the mercy seat, are covered under the blood. They're pitched within and without. Within and without. It's a substance to cover, to keep out the water. To keep out the wrath of God. To seduce him. It's a pit. And it'll never spring a leak. Noah, that ark never sprung. Not a drop fell on Noah. Not a drop fell on Noah's head. Or an animal. Or anything in the ark. They were bone dry. Not a drop. And there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. None. Not a drop. God is not angry with his people. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. Anger implies hatred. It implies judgment. None. There is now, therefore now, smile, Noah. There is therefore now no condemnation. Not a drop. The only person who will smile is those that feel themselves condemned. Sinner. They're like pitch. When I say blood, sinners will smile. Those that will smile. Pitch. Blood. Blood, blood, blood. I told that to that fella got up and preached and never mentioned Christ's name. I got up afterward and I said, you know, a man ought to every now and then just say blood. Just say it. He's not going to preach about it. Just say it every now and then. The saints need to hear it. You can't come before God without blood. I hope that preacher heard it. Just say it every now and then. It's a rejoice. It's what covers this old sinful soul. Blood, 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 blood. Pitch, 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 pitch. Noah and the boys knew the value of pitch, didn't they, Stan? Pick on somebody else, Stan. Didn't they, Rick? Noah and the boy, you know the value of pitch? I just pitched my basement over that. If I want to dry a basement, that pitch better work. Right? According to how good the pitch is how dry my basement will be.
According to how good the blood of Christ is how dry your basement will be.
How safe your soul will be. Right? It's the blood. How good is the blood of Christ? It covers. It covers. Never sprain a leg. No cracks, no flaws, no leaks. No runs, no drifts, no no holes. Complete. That boat was completely covered. Complete in the ark. And we're complete in Christ. Verse 17 says, chapter 7, verse 17. This is important. This is vital. Look at it. Verse 17 says, and the flood was 40 days upon the earth, and the waters increased and bare up the ark. Christ, our ark, was borne up on the cross for us, wasn't he? Huh? He bore in his body, he bore our sins on the tree. He was borne up and he bore our sins. And he bore them away. And he said he was lifted up above the earth. Christ said, I'm from above. You're from beneath. And he said this too. He said, if I be lifted up, I'll draw all men to myself. Christ is the ark. You see, Noah didn't, they never felt a drop. They might have felt some tossings, but it was that ark that took all the waves. It was the ark that took all the wind. If lightning struck, it was the ark that took it. The ark bore it all. It was borne up. The ark was born. You're in Christ. Christ bears all the wrath and judgment of God. And then he gives the specifications. He says that in chapter 6, he says, verse 15, here's the length of the ark. He said, Noah built the length of the ark should be this long. The breadth of it, he says, should be this long. The height of it shall be this long. And then down in verse 16, he talks about the depth of it. There shall be lower. You see that? Lower story shall they make it. So he's talking there about the length, the depth, the breadth, and the height of the ark. Sound familiar to anybody's ears? Huh? Noah and the boys were sitting in that ark. Oh, it's high, isn't it? It's high. Look at that. What's long? It's 450 feet long. Boy, it's a big ark. Wide, too. 75 feet wide. Spacious, isn't it? Deep. Deep, isn't it? The length, the height, the depth, the breadth. Paul said, oh, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth. Just how wide is his mercy? What is the length? Just how far he had to go to get you. How far did he go to reach down to get you, Joe? Way down. The length? The depth? How far down into the cesspool of sin did Christ come? How far did he condescend? And the height? How far will it take you? They landed on a mountain. That ship mount landed on a mountain. They say it's Mount Ararat today. Maybe, but it landed on a mountain nonetheless. And that's where that ark ended up, is on that mountain. It finally, it says in chapter 8 of Genesis, it says that the ark rested. Verse 4, the ark rested. And so did everybody that was in the ark. Safe. Safe. And several places it says, and God did remember Noah. And everybody in the ark. Everybody in the ark is safe. I had plenty to eat on the way. And just had to rest. All right. Why? Because of that ark. It all had to do with that. Are you in the ark? Are you even interested in the ark? I think some of you are. If you are, you see your need of the ark. You've come to the ark. You've come to Christ. It's because God brought you. I can't leave this out, can I? It says in verse 16 of chapter 7, verse 16, the Lord shut him in. And if you have come to Christ, by God's mercy and grace, I'm here to tell you, he shut you in. You're shut up by faith. Shut up in Christ. You're not going anywhere. I don't want to go. Noah didn't want to go anywhere, did he? He heard those waves pounding, that rain falling, the thunder roaring. He didn't want to go anywhere, did he? He didn't want to. He didn't. There's a window in that ark. There's a door in that ark. It all speaks of Christ. And we don't have time to tell it. Maybe Christ will preach it to us one day, like it ought to be preached. But until then, you just come to Christ, all right? Job, what you got a song?